Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, The Dream Which Never Dies. Today's message is based on Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 27. But let us open with prayer. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence foe and avenger. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. God's greatness is unsearchable. Amen. So turn now in your Bibles to Revelation 21, beginning at verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured the wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of an angel. And the construction of the wall was of jasper, and of all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the fifth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th janus, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, and each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. The kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut by all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring glory and honor and nations into it. But there shall be no means of entering it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So today we return to our study of Revelation, now the second half of chapter 21. In this chapter, there is much symbolism, most of which is not definite or clear. So we should think of this as literal, but it certainly is a poor attempt to visualize the glory and splendor that is God. The introduction of this passage should seem similar to you, for we read something very much like it in chapter 17, where the angel takes John to see the city of Babylon, that great harlot. And this introduction, though similar in words, has the exact opposite meaning. So we begin today, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls of the seven last plagues came and talked to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Now, passages like this make some wonder if the New Jerusalem is a literal place at all. Some suggest that it's just an exotic symbol of the church, the bride of Christ. But we must think in literal ways, because that is the only way we can grasp the scale of John's words. So the heavenly city is literal, but it is called the bride, the Lamb's wife, because it is the place where all God's people are gathered. In this sense, the New Jerusalem is certainly like the bride. But this association doesn't diminish the reality behind the image. The city is associated with the bride to all us with a sense of its beauty. And then going to verse 11, having the glory of God, her light is like the most precious stone, like a jasper, clear as crystal. And she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, 12 angels, and the names on them were the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now John was impressed by the glory of this city. This city shared in the glory of God, and it was expressed in the radiant light shining from her. Now the normal Greek for light is phos, but here the Greek used is phoster, which is used in means of the lights of heaven, the sun, the moon, and the stars, as was used in Genesis 1:14 in the creation message. This is not the gleam of a precious stone as it is written, but the overwhelming radiance of the presence of God. And from Paul's letter to the Philippians in 3:15, Paul says of the Christians at Philippi, they shall shine as lights in the world. Well, this city will be filled with such people, those who in life shone for Christ, as we all should. Now, this wall was not needed for defense, because there were no more enemies. But the great and high wall gave the city definition, for this is no cosmic Nineveh, but real, and shows that some will be excluded from the city, for only the righteous can enter. And if we go to Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 3, we have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The clear statement of what this wall is can be said as the insurmountable bulwark of faith. Next, what is a wall without a gate? The New Jerusalem has 12. The names of the tribes of Israel on the gates communicate the unity and heritage that the people of God have with Israel. God will never forget the tribes of Israel, even into eternity. Now, the normal Greek for a city gate is pula, but here is pulon, which implies a strong gatehouse surrounding the gate, or even a residence of one who keeps the gate. But this is not a shack, but nearly a palace. Then we have gates on the east, north, south, and west. Some have thought the arrangement of the gates looks back to the camp layout used during the Exodus from Numbers 2, where the tribes were arranged in the same manner when they camped in the wilderness. This is also the image from Ezekiel 48, verses 30 through 35. The city is arranged that all who seek it shall have a way to enter, no matter where they come from. And there is no exclusion based on your original dwelling, but only on your faith. And with the city wall, they had 12 foundations, the names of the 12 apostles. Now, the foundation is an eternal testimony to the apostles, and their permanence places in God's plan. If it isn't built on the foundation of the apostles, it isn't the right place for God's people. The New Testament and the church are founded upon the apostles. We get that from Ephesians 2:20. Though glorified with the precious stone, more precious is the one who brings the word of God. This is the apostles from the beginning who gave to us the way we should live in our belief of Jesus. A house with a poor foundation will not last, and we should be comforted that the church's foundation is so built. So going on now to verse 15, he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, the gates, its wall. It's laid out as a square, the length as great as its breadth. 12,000 furlongs, where the breadth, length, and height are equal. And he measured the wall. New Jerusalem's length, height, and width are equal. This means that either it's a cube or a pyramid. A cube, the more likely shape, is reminiscent of the holy place of the tabernacle, suggesting that the entire city is the Holy of Holies. The size of New Jerusalem is enormous. 12,000 furlongs equals 1,500 miles. This is the distance from Maine to Florida. The square footage would approximately be the size of the moon. Leon Morris, an Australian Bible scholar of the early 20th century, wrote this: "A city of this size is too large for the imagination to take in. John is certainly conveying the idea of splendor, and more importantly, that there's room for all." But out of curiosity of this grand scale, the wall is not all that high. Now, the walls of Babylon were said to be 300 feet, taller than these 266. The wall of Solomon's porch was 180 feet, and this was a minor part of the temple. We already said this wall was not for defense. It is for defining the shape of the city, but also there will be some who will not be allowed in. For any city or nation must be defined by its boundaries. But the wall here is for defining the city and its gates, for granting access for those who truly love God. And going now to verse 18, we talk about the construction of the walls of these precious stones. When we read of jasper and pure gold and all kinds of precious stones, we should take these as literal representations. Yet they express realities of another world. We can gain a brief glimpse of what John saw, but we can't even begin to see it in fullness until we will see it with our own eyes. John's use of riches in his description is his way of bringing out the very great value of what God has for his people. And this again from Leon Morris. The precise identification of these gemstones in modern terms is difficult, but the impression is of unending, staggering beauty. What we call jasper today is not what John knew. Our jasper is opaque, or what is described here is more crystalline. The symbolism is not meant to give the impression of wealth and luxury, but to point to the glory and holiness of God. Now, we've all seen pearls, but none we have seen would block any access, for they are small. In John's day, the pearl was the most precious of gems. Jesus used this in his parable in Matthew 13 of the pearl of great value. Today we think of a diamond in much the same way they thought of the pearl, but in a much grander scale. The pearls of New Jerusalem will not only be magnificent in appearance, but of a size beyond imagination. If there is any biblical reference point for this assortment of gemstones, it is probably the high priest's breastplate found in Exodus 28. Each of these stones, which were in the breastplate, was also square in shape. The constant mention of transparency indicates the city is designed to transmit the glory of God in the form of light without hindrance. Clarity implies purity, no distortion or contamination. In this way, we should read and understand Scripture that should mirror this same concept, much less in how we teach Scripture. For God will not hold him blameless any who distort his holy word. In the New Jerusalem, not only is God depicted as pure, but the word as well. Now, if the dimensions and descriptions seem confusing or impossible, there are two main principles to keep in mind. First, we must understand the ideas communicated in detail, such as glory, beauty, splendor, and so forth. And second, we must understand that this is the city whose architect and maker is God, from Hebrews 11:10. We should expect it to be beyond our comprehension. The real glory for me is that when I get to this place, it will all become clear and will focus me on the worship of God and the Lamb. And going to verse 22, I saw no temple, for Lord all God mighty and the Lamb are its temple. In the ancient world, it was unthinkable to have a great city without many different temples. It's like saying today, I saw a great city, but it has no bank. Or I saw a great city, but there's no shopping mall. Nevertheless, in this city, there was no temple in it. Here the temple was not removed, but expanded. Everything and every place is holy and the dwelling place of God. Before Jesus, this temple was a prophecy. In the Christian era, God's people are his temple. In the millennium, the temple will be a memorial. But here, the temple is everywhere. These inhabitants need no place of worship or sacrifice, the object of all worship being present, and the great sacrifice himself being there. No temple, no need of sun or moon. This reminds us that heaven will be a place of pure worship. The things we use to help us worship, but often end up distracting us in worship, such as buildings, music systems, customs, rock bands, and so forth, will no longer be an issue. Our focus will be totally on the person we worship, the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb. In heaven, none of our joy, beauty, or knowledge will be based on created things, but only on the Creator. By faith, you can have it that way now. You can decide to trust God so completely that your joy, what you consider beauty, and your foundation of knowledge are all based on Jesus and not on anything created. Light speaks of joy, for in the Scriptures, light and joy go together. Light speaks of beauty, because without light there is no beauty. Light speaks of knowledge, and in heaven we will all know him as he knows us. In continuing, the nations who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of earth will bring their glory. And their gates will not be shut by day, for there shall be no night. The kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. But what about these kings of the earth? Who are they? And this is difficult to understand, and different commentators have different suggestions. This is where indifference comes into play. There will be those who do not support Satan and the beast, but also did not align with God. This is where so many reside today. We must make a decision to serve and submit to God, or we may be on the outside for a time, just looking in. There shall be no means to enter anything that defiles. Does this mean that such people will threaten the city? It isn't necessary to say that this is the idea because all sinners and death have been cast into the lake of fire from Revelation 20. Instead, the exhortation warns present readers that the only way to participate in the future city is to turn one's loyalties to the Lamb now. Isaiah 2 speaks of the day when all nations will go up to Mount Zion and walk in the ways of the Lord. And this occurs multiple times in Isaiah. In ancient times, walled cities and villages had a very hard and fast rule. The city gates closed at dusk. Invaders, robbers, and thieves would wait until dark for their evil. Yet the gates would never be shut all day. There would simply be no night. All who could attempt entry will already be in, and those without will fear any attempt. And we close the day with, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who will not set aside the evil of their ways are barred from the city of God. It is not the sinner who is barred, for none of us could enter. But remember, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The one who will be barred is the one who deliberately, with open eyes and ears, continues in sin. They refuse the grace of God, but insist on going their own way. Now is a time when you should be sure that your name will be found in the Book of Life. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. To him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, the glory, majesty, power, and authority. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church, worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Range. You can also find a video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
John saw this city, oh yes he did. John caught a glimpse of the golden throne. Tell me all about it. Go right on around the throne. He saw a crystal sea. There's got to be more. What will it be? I want to go to that city he saw, New Jerusalem. Jerusalem, I want to walk your streets that are golden, and I want to run where the angels have trod. But he did not see night. The Lamb of God, well, he must be the light. And he saw the saints worship the great I Am, crying, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. I want to go to that city he saw, New Jerusalem.
keeping you informed. First in the Valley, News Talk 1400.